The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Welcome to Kiowa Talk on KACO New Country 985, brought to you by Kiowas for a Better Future, District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, Susan Campbell, and Lawrence Spotted Bird. And first up on the show we will go ahead and have Leonard Kozad Jr. give our opening prayer. So Leonard, go ahead.
Oh, before I pray this, again, I want to, again, thank the radio station staff, George, and that to let the Kiowas broadcast every week. I appreciate that. And I thank you, Siggy, and Sister Mary Helen Deere, and other Kiowa guests that come on. It's good that they let us do that. Let us pray. Uncle, thank you, dog. Keep going. On the tiger go, key the sun go, I go up tiger, by board it, because a long time ago. So long of being, they go $8, I dog, he go. He go, no rainbow, the one how you go, they go hang, kid dog. Coin go go, call day go, Sunday go, Mother's Day go, it's sun, go, na own time, a dog, he go, no, he go, go. Then they can't hear dog or dog, he go, ah, going day to go, man, how you go, him, ah, going time to go. How they go in time to go, dog, he go, no, in dog, he tell me, dog, hold it, I get dog, Jesus Christ. He go, no, he go, go, ain't bone, dog, he go, no, tired, they go, no, you in dog, Natty Kozad, Silver go, brother Larry go. When I get they go hang a dog key. Boy, you're holding that sign out, dog. They go, no, I can't go any time going. Die, go, ain't date to dog key, go, him, I go. Bless. They go, God, go, outside, go, now, own time, a dog key. Thank you, dear God, for another beautiful day. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, amen. Leonard. Thank you. So next we'll go on to the Kiowa Elder of the Week. Mary Helen Deere, go ahead and take it away. Our Kiowa Elder of the Week is Vanessa
Jennings.
I wasn't sure. Good morning. I wasn't sure which name to use, and so I was trying to search my brain cell. So Mary Helen, go ahead.
Well, good morning, Vanessa. I'm glad to hear your voice and glad you're feeling better. So let's start this. As we discussed before, we'd like to know about four different phases of an elder's life. First of all, where did you come? Who's your folks? You know, that's always what we ask when we meet somebody. Who's your folks? And then
my folks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my folks are Stephen Mulpope and Jeanette Barry Mulpope. They're from the community of Redstone. And my grandfather's the old man that did the, he was part of the Kiowa Five, and he did the paintings in the post office building.
Yeah, I remember my Uncle Jack did some of those paintings too.
Yes.
Then and then where were you raised? You probably traveled quite a bit in your travels, and where were you raised? And what kind of teachings did you get from your parents and your grandparents?
Well, because I was with my grandparents, you know, it's funny, you really don't think about what an unusual and wonderful life that you're involved in, you know, because you're hearing old Kiowa stories, you're hearing the language, you're hearing about the manners, the culture, and so many things. And it every child, they need to have a foundation. Every human being needs a foundation. The main question that most people ask is, where am I from? What is the meaning of life? Where do I fit in this place? And, you know, the Kiowa grandparents, they are your foundation. They are your rock. They are your beginning. And it's through their love and their stories that they help you form a life base of what is important and what isn't. And so with us, you know, we were, we lived in this little bubble world up on the hill with my grandparents. And my grandmother taught us how to beadwork, and my grandfather taught us how to use a hammer. And we were all, you know, it was, we were all working together.
So I know that you have done quite a bit with the beadwork that you were taught. Tell us about that part of your life.
Well, with beadworking, it began with little girls. You know, they can climb around, they get around real quick. And so, you know, like my grandmother, she would drop beads. And it was your job to pick up every one of those beads, and there was a jar that she put her her beads in, and they weren't done by color, it was just done by size. This was size 12, this was size 16, this was size 18, you know, so those numbers, as they got bigger, the tinier they got. And so, you know, after a while, you could tell by looking at something what size they were. You know, but while you're doing that, you know, she's talking, and you hear all of this incredible information, you know, but as children, I don't think we really appreciate what we're hearing, you know, because I was the kind, I was always la, 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 la. My grandma used to say, you, I worry about. And it... And I'm laughing because that's the truth. Anyway, and so it's just, but this woman was the one that was she became my conscience. She became my guiding star to this day. Even though she died in 1970, you know, she's sitting right here with you and me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I feel about my grandmother. That she's been gone since 1975, I think. But, yeah, her teachings are still there. I still quote her. I quote her a lot more that I'm getting older, both she and my grandfather.
Yes. Yes.
Never realizing the stories.
She was the one that became the backbone for you becoming a nurse.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, I mean, it's just, my grandmother used to say, you know, we're working on you. We're making a way for you. Because the world that you're going into is the world I'll never see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to hear that, it's just really profound.
Yeah.
And important, you know, it's just, so yes, she was an incredible spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah, grandmas are important. I don't know what Indian people would do without the grandmothers. So how about your brothers and sisters? How many did you have? All I knew was Woodcoy.
I know. Woodcoy was the superstar. I had a younger sister, Stevetta. I had another sister who was actually a cousin. Her name was Carolyn. She was a Palmer. And she grew up with us. And then I have another brother. His name was Gilbert, but we called him Sarge. That was his nickname. So Sarge danced. We all danced. In our house, nobody got away. Everybody. My grandma would put moccasins on you and a dress or leggings, and she'd put you out there. You're sitting in the dance arena. So, you know, there was no excuse.
Uh-huh. Hey, Vanessa, tell us about some of that dance arena. What was the protocol? You know, I see some young people nowadays, and I just kind of cringe because I think, oh, what would my grandmother say? How about your grandmother? What did she teach you about going into the dance arena?
Yeah, well, you know, I understand the world evolves and changes, you know, but the thing that worries me is that, you know, there's so many young people, they go off and they fall in love with the ways of other people. And, you know, they talk about, this is the way I was taught, this is the way. So they're bringing things that were not Kiowa. And then after a while, they seem to be accepting and accepted. You know, so the dance world itself has really changed. You know, when I was growing up, they were more society ceremonials. You know, and now those wonderful one-night dances, they don't exist anymore, you know. Every time they have a powwow today, it's a gourd dance, or it's interspersed with contest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, contests were fun, but that's all they were. They were for fun. You know, now it's, you know, death by death, you know, blow by blow. I mean, they're vicious. You know, if they don't win, they go and they protest, and that's not, you know, that's not the way we were.
Yeah, they don't dance for the love of dancing. Yeah, for the love of money.
And you know that when you went to a one-night dance, it was a round dance. Yeah, it was a war dance. They would have a two-step. They would have... you know, buffalo dance. They would have, this is something, nobody seems to remember it, but, you know, the Kozaths I know would remember. It's they would shield dance, you know, and these were...
snake dance.
It was a wonderful time. It was wonderful. Yes, snake dance. And it was fun. And, you know, and then, of course, when Vietnam happened, you know, we had a lot of young men that were leaving, and their families would have dances for them when they left, and they'd have dances for them when they came back. And, you know, I remember my grandmother, she had a map, and here were these places I had never heard of. You know, and she's got straight pins in them. You know, she's reading in the newspaper where they're talking about some big battle. And, you know, she said, we don't know. She said, we might have a nephew or a cousin or somebody there. You know, and so she was always praying. And I remember when those great big old black Huey helicopters would pass over, my grandma would run outside and she would holler. And I remember she used to say, you know, God bless you and God bless your mother. I'll pray for her too. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, you know, they naturally, you know, they wouldn't have known who my grandmother was. And certainly, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't have even been able to understand that this old lady was truly concerned, not because that you were related, but because you were an American and you were going away from home. You know, so we had like my Uncle Marlon Goomba, he was a medic. We had Pascal Cletus Poulaw. We had Donnie Bear. We had, oh my goodness, and there, in between all of that, you know, there was all of these boys, you know, that they were joining up and going into the Marine Corps, going into the Army. And I remember my grandmother would, you know, just walk up to a complete stranger and put her hand out and say, I'll keep you in prayer. Yeah. And, you know, most non-Indians, you know, they're looking at you and they're thinking, you know, I think she's going to rob me. You know, they never thought about the idea that, you know, she was concerned because they were Fulega, uh-huh, you know, going off to war.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting and colorful time that I had as a young person. You know, I was watching different ones. Like my uncle, he was in the Army. Oh, he was so handsome. You know, my Uncle Marlon was in the Army, and I remember when he came home. And, you know, I kept, you know, all of these little notes from, you know, like my grandmother did, you know, about sometimes if we had heard, you know, from him, and he would talk about a battle that he had been in, you know. And it's just, you know, when Kai was, you know, you, we are so unique. You don't think about it, but we truly are. You know, there was, you know, we believe in medicine. And I know this one relative, he used to work with me in the downstairs in the, we were in the KCA enrollment project anyway. And when he was in Vietnam, he was in this huge firefight, and he was checking his men, pulling them out of the way, sending those that were hurt, you know, calling for a medic. And then he said, you have such an adrenaline rush. He said, you have such an adrenaline rush. He said, you don't realize. He said, are you hurt? Are you all right? He said, and so he said, he took some time away, you know, and pulled away from his the men that he was with. And he was in this little clearing, and there was a small pool of water. And he leaned down, and he was washing his face, and he was shaking. You know, that adrenaline was so strong and powerful. And, you know, he was saying, you know, talking to himself, be calm, you know, stay calm. And he said, all of a sudden, he looked down, he said, and he saw one of his ancestors. And he was the same rank as this young man was, you know, from years ago anyway. And he always wore an army uniform everywhere he went. He was proud of being in the service, this old man. Anyway, but now all of a sudden he's talking to his grandson in the middle of the jungles of Vietnam. And he's telling him, you know, he said, you know, don't worry. He said, wash your face off, grandson. He said, take a deep breath. He said, don't be afraid. He said, you're going to go home soon. He said, but you just have to concentrate and take care of things right now. And then he looked down again. He said, I had a question to ask. He said, and that reflection, he said, it was gone. Yeah. He said, now I'm looking back at my reflection. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a powerful war story.
Yes.
I mean, it just makes my braids just, ooh, just makes my braids feel like they're standing straight up. You know, and you hear other relatives, you know, they'll quietly, you know, they'll talk to you. And one of my other relatives, Mr. Kale, he was in Korea. And he said, you know, you don't think about being cold. You don't think about being hungry. He said, you don't think about anything. You just worry about, you know, if your family's doing all right. He said, that's the driving force behind you being there. Yeah. You know, it's not home. But I would rather be there fighting the enemy than have the enemy, you know, in the middle of our camp.
Yeah.
Now, there again, that is a profound statement. You know, it's just... our people are so unique and so fabulous. And, you know, I understand some people are going to laugh. Ah, ha, ha, that's funny. Hey, well, she's full of it. No, I'm not. You know, I have a great respect for my Kiowa people.
Yeah.
And I want to hear what's important to you. Mm-hmm. You know, let's sit down and let's talk and let's visit. Mm-hmm. You know, that you understand that when we're doing this, what we're doing is we're making the life of our Kiowa culture and traditions, we're allowing them to live a bit longer. My grandmother used to say, one person can never know it all.
That's right.
You know, you have to be willing to listen. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to learn. She said, I don't care how old you are. She said, you never stop learning.
That's true.
You know, and there again, you know, that is another profound statement.
Mm-hmm. And Vanessa, on that, we're running out of time, but that's a great place to stop, is that kind of advice to the people in your daily lives and in your lives serving Kiowa people. So, we'll have to have you back.
Thank you all,
Vanessa,
for asking me.
We'll have to have you back, because I'm sure you have many more stories to tell us, and we all would like to hear them. So thank you, Vanessa, and
thank you.
You stay well, and we'll see you down the road.
Aho, Vanessa.
All right.
All right, that was Vanessa Jennings, as she is our Kiowa Elder of the Week. And next, we have Hope Worthington, who is the Indian Education Director at Carnegie Public Schools. Hope, are you there?
I am. You guys are breaking up just a little bit, so I'm going to kind of move around here.
Well, you're coming in loud and clear. Just the speakerphone on my cell phone is not what you hear well, but you're coming in fine. So
I can hardly hear what you're saying, Joe.
Go ahead, Hope. Go ahead and talk.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm Hope Worthington, and I am Carnegie Public Schools Indian Education Director, and I am also our JOM coordinator here. And thank you all, you know, for having me on your program. I just wanted to come on here and, you know, first of all, take the opportunity to thank the Kiowa Tribe. We have had many partnerships with the tribe for at least 6 years that I'm aware of now, that we have continued to build on. And the programs, the partnerships have grown to where now a lot of successes are visible throughout these hallways. And when I talk about successes, I talk about the successes of our students, not necessarily the buildings or anything like that, but what I see in the confidence and the academic gain that our students have. Those are the successes that I'm talking about when I talk about Carnegie Public Schools. It's in the students. You know, a little bit about us here at Carnegie Public Schools. We are a small school. We have about close to, not right at 600 population. We're probably more at the low 500 this past year, school year. But within that, we are comprised of 50% Native American population here, and half of that 50% are Kiowa students. We have also a little bragging point. I would like to talk about our senior class of 2021. In that class, we have 19 graduating seniors. Of that 19, three of them are graduating in the top 10% with the class, and we have 11 honor students within this class. 13 of those 19 natives are Kiowas. So we have 13 Kiowas graduating this year, most who are honor students. So I'm really proud of that. You guys at the Kiowa Tribe should be very proud of that. You know, Joe, do you want me to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the programs, partnerships
sure.
we have?
Yeah.
Or
please do. And also talk about the hopes and the plans that you have to maybe perhaps introducing Kiowa 1, 2, 3, and 4 into the high school for language,
okay.
for language purposes.
Absolutely. Well, it looks, well, you know, I'll start there, too, you know, with our the Kiowa language program. We began when the Kiowas received their first grant when the Kiowa Language Revitalization, Cultural and Revitalization Program started some 4 years back, I think it was. They invited me to come in and included us within their program and within this grant that they wrote to bring the culture and language, you know, back into the schools and in the community within the Kiowa Tribe. Anyway, so we kind of jumped on that, or I jumped on that and started filtering in Kiowa language through our school. One of the hopes that we have and a big goal that we have for this program is to bring in a Kiowa language in the classroom at the high school level. Right now, we're not at that point. Of course, I think the students, myself, the staff, we would all love to have it, you know, starting next school semester. I wish there was an easy way to make all of that happen. But right now, what we are doing is my office is located here at the elementary school, so which I think is a great age. They're very impressionable. They're like little sponges, and they pick up things really quickly. So through the language program, I have started teaching how to count in Kiowa. We did this the whole month of April, every Thursday over the our intercom and during announcements in the morning. I taught our entire staff and students at the elementary how to count 1 through 10. Now, we did this, again, like I said, every week of April. We just actually announced this morning the winning classroom. We did our JLN program, gave an incentive to the students and the class. Who can, you know, learn how to count in Kiowa the quickest, and how they did that. They would come by my classroom. They would recite or count to 10 in Kiowa. Our program would give them a little incentive. So we had a lot of that. We had a lot of good competition there, if you will. But we actually awarded a third grade class this morning. We are going to have a little pizza party with them the last week of school just to reward them because their entire class now can count from 1 to 10. That's just not our Kiowa students. That's the non-native as well. So that program alone, hopefully, you know, like I said, we're starting here with elementary, and hopefully by the time we can get things, you know, when the language program is gets to where we can bring a teacher in, things like that, or curriculum that they're satisfied with, we can start maybe Kiowa 1, 2, and 3 throughout our high school, 9th, 10th, 11th graders or something to that effect. That is our goal. And until we get there, I'm going to keep doing what I can to teach these small little things of small Kiowa words, greetings, numbers, things like that, best I can. Do you have any questions on that one, or did I answer any of your questions that you may have had with that?
Hope, this is Mary Helen. And
yes.
And one of your comments reminded me of a story that my uncle told me when he was in high school there at Carnegie, and that, mm-hmm. you know, the little farm boys around there, you know, were friends with a lot of the Indian, you know, boys that went to school there, and they picked up some Kiowa, you know, just simple little words.
Yes.
And he told about this one farm boy that was at the chalkboard and writing a big problem down. And as he was doing the problem, I guess he made a mistake. And he stopped and said, "Oh, God." And then he erased the board. So they do pick
well,
up.
Well, and you know, they pick up a lot. And that's what's great. You know, I like to promote through our school, you know, the more, you know, we share of what we can with our cultures, with the non-natives or the ones that are, you know, of a different tribe, the more we can share and the more they know, the more respect we have for one another.
Yes.
And that's, you know, what I promote here. And you know, our kids are really good in learning and in helping each other. We have a lot of all the kids going down the hall, "Aho," or you can hear in the classroom when you walk through here, you know, the teacher saying, "Base off," you know, "Ama," "Come in." And those small things, I will tell you, they make a huge difference.
Yes.
We have a lot of our Indian students here who are shy, especially when they first start, you know, the lower grades. They're really shy and, you know, just seem to not have a lot of confidence. But when we start bringing the Kiowa language into the classroom, especially for our native students, boy, you see their eyes, you know, open up and they, you know, they sit up and they're excited. And I see that through the halls a lot here lately, our students that are rewarded, you know, and they see that, you know, their teachers, their peers, they like to hear them speak their language. Mm-hmm. And so I'm proud of that. I'm proud of our students. I'm proud of the Kiowa tribe, you know, for reaching out and making us a partner and helping me in any way. And anytime I need anything with the language program, you know, I reach out to Dr. Tony Satoke Mule and Lance White, Lily Pennell, Robin Bodiger. Those are the ones that I reach out here, you know, for us, for guidance. You know, prior to COVID, I did have a lot of elder mentors who are not here with us anymore. And, you know, that's been sad. But I think this year for me, it's been, you know, you know, we had a lot of loss in our family alone, and the legacies that, you know, my grandmother left behind and, aunt, you know, brother, they were Kiowa, and, you know, grandma, you know, Della Doibai, she spoke fluent Kiowa, and for her, you know, it's one thing that I want to keep doing, you know, if anything for her, that she was proud to speak Kiowa. She was proud of her people. She was proud to teach it to my children, her little brother, her little sister. And that makes me proud. It makes me want to do more and want to continue sharing stories, the language, the culture with these kids here in Carnegie. Because it does. She coined it best for me. You know, a couple of years ago, she said, "You just do what you can and those kids will learn." And I see it more so now, and maybe it's because I'm more attentive to that now that I know she's gone. But anyway, culture is important, very important to us here at Carnegie Public Schools. That's why we have these partnerships, not only with the language program, but with the Kiowa Youth Sports program. They help take care of us in a lot of ways there. Actually, Derek Topai and I are working on bringing a softball camp, a youth softball camp, to the kids here this summer. We will bring in one of our past students, who's also Kiowa affiliated. She's a D1 softball player, pitcher, and she's going to come and hopefully run the camp for us. That's in the works. So we're really excited about that. But we also partner with our the Kiowa Teen Suicide Prevention Program. We have an annual walk to bring awareness to suicide. Our softball program has actually picked that up. That is their thing, where they have a one day out of, I want to say it's in October. There's a certain day in October where we do a walk for life. And we actually have the opposing team join in with us. The Kiowa Tribe usually provides a free T-shirt for all those who want to walk. And Glenn Beaver, Phyllis Bohannon, they do a great job coming in and just sharing some information. We've been doing that for 3 years now. And then, of course, our Kiowa Higher Education Program. I had Warren Queet on, and also from the Kiowa Tribe Supplemental Youth Service Program, Mr. Ernie Redbird III. They were here last week talking to our students about college readiness and what the summer is going to look like through their programs and what they can expect through them. So, the list can go on and on, but, having this opportunity on you guys' program, there's a lot of negative in this world, but right here where we are at Carnegie Public Schools, we are very thankful for what the Kiowa Tribe has partnered with us. And like I said, the success of the students, the confidence in the students of having that Kiowa culture and language being weaved into our curriculum has been outstanding. And I appreciate everything and all the partnerships we have with the Kiowa Tribe.
Well, Hope, it sounds like you're doing a great job there at the Carnegie Public Schools. And we're running short on time, but whenever you've got something that you'd like to bring up or announce, we'll have you again on the show, and you can make some announcements or anything that you'd like to get out to the Kiowa people. Just give me a ring.
Awesome.
So again, thank you for being on the show, let's teach those kids Kiowa.
Amen to that. All right, y'all have a great day. God bless.
Okay, that was Hope Worthington, and she is the JOM coordinator at Carnegie Public Schools. So moving on to the next portion of our show is we have our legislative update, and we've got District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson and District 7 Legislator Jacob Zotai. So we'll pass this portion of the show on to them. Hey, Anita, so you're on. It's your portion of the show, and let's hear from what's going on in the Kiowa Tribe government.
I wanted to let the Kiowa Tribe know that we have held our open hearings for 2 days. Tuesday the 4th and Thursday the 6th from 2 to 4 on Zoom. And we will be dealing with those issues that have come in the open hearing. And on Saturday, the 8th, that will be our regular session. And there's resolutions that we're going to be discussing and possibly voting on. Those are the PPP resolution for the casino, Kiowa Casino, and that's the payroll protection payroll protection plan or something like that. I don't have that document right in front of me. The MOU with the Memorandum of Understanding with the City of Hobart and the Kiowa Casino sponsor Ben Wolf. The previous one was sponsored by Marilyn Bread. With the KCOA and Kiowa Casino. And the next one was the legislative budget for 2021 and 22. We'll be putting forth the legislative budget, even though the chairman's budget is coming up for vote on May 15th. According to the Constitution, the legislature can put forth a budget at any time. And so that's what we're doing. We're putting forth a budget that includes the revenues that were left out of the chairman's budget. the and additional things that were left out to fund, which were approved by the KIC in the last meeting that we had as a KIC group. The last one was the mascot using Native imagery as mascot, and this is totally for the state of Colorado. And since we were asked to do that by Mr. Rick Waters, who is the Indian Center, I guess, I don't know if he's the chairman or the president or something of the Indian Center in Denver, he requested District 7 Legislator Jacob to put forth the resolution, which he did. And but, you know, it takes time. And so since that time, the state of Colorado has gone ahead and done something with their legislative process. And but we're just going to go ahead and talk about this and possibly pass it Saturday just to add a little bit more strength as the Kiowa tribe and coincide with the state of Colorado on behalf of the Kiowa Indians that live in Colorado and around Denver. So that's what's happening. That's what's happened on Tuesday the 4th and Thursday the 6th. And this was all live on Zoom. And discussions were held. Questions were asked by the people that were on the program. And it was a real good discussion. Hopefully, we were able to answer questions to the satisfaction of the people that participated. I thought it went really well. That was mainly what we went through this past week. We have the agenda coming up, which is a pretty full day. And as I explained that the other day, which was the reason why we're meeting by Zoom is to protect the public and protect ourselves, because three of us on the legislature at this point are elders, and we all have health issues, and it in our resolution to meet by Zoom, we decided to meet by Zoom until the CDC opens up the guidelines and changes the guidelines on protecting yourself as an individual and being in groups. And I think they've changed it to like 7 or 8 people, but you know, there's 7 legislators, and there's a couple of clerks that come in. Our legislative clerk is there, and so that makes 8 people just from the legislature that's there. And at times we have employed somebody to do the sound for us and record. And then there's been times when we've had guests come in, and so that would increase the bodies that are in there. So it would be more than 7 people in a enclosed area. So therefore, we're still going to maintain the Zoom meetings and until the CDC changes their guidelines, because we don't want anybody to be at risk. Certainly, we've already lost 2 people to COVID-19 on the legislature. And so certainly we do not want anybody else to succumb to that virus. And I don't think the Kiowa tribe wants any more losses to the COVID-19 out of the legislature. I don't think the executive branch has had any losses to the COVID-19 in either the chairman or vice chairman.
And so, you know, they haven't suffered like the legislature has. We've lost two from the same district to the same disease. So we don't want to put anybody at risk. And therefore, we're not going to open up until we get the okay from the CDC. And that's coming from the speaker and the rest of the legislature also. We all agreed in a resolution to do that, or the annular legislative order to do that within the ranks of the legislature. We don't want to put anybody at risk. And so, you know, we're still in a pandemic. We're not through with it, even though people have gotten their shots. It's not all clear yet. We haven't rung the bell yet. So we're still being cautious. We don't want anybody to get sick with this, so we're still trying to be cautious about it, and I think everybody understands. And Jacob, if you're ready, that's mainly what I wanted to talk about was our sessions this past week.
So Anita and Jacob, what we're going to do is we're going to let Jacob talk for a little bit, and then then all of us are going to have a discussion about the budget, and then you two are going to, at 2 o'clock, will jump off to your Zoom call, and Mary Helen Deere and I will finish the discussion.
Well,
about
I have to get to town, so I'm going to, okay. I'm at my house, and I'm going to have to Zoom to town. So
all right, go Zoom on. Okay. Jacob, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Anita. And I take the opportunity to address some of the issues that are confronting our legislature. The biggest issue, however, is the notice we received that the tribe is experiencing a financial dilemma. From notice we received that there is a halt in all spending. Request for spending must be approved through the chairman's office because of a miscalculation. We just received that memo last week, and so we're having to deal with that. We're not sure what that entails. We haven't received word about what that might encompass. So that is the major issue, I think, for all of the tribe to get a grasp on, other than the regular monthly session that Anita spoke to, the different bills and resolutions we are going to address. We also have the response from the tribe to the Inspector General's office that we will be reviewing coming up with a response from the legislature to the 14 priority or the 14 inquiry questions. We have not met as a body yet to discuss those. So I look forward to that discussion and see how we might include our response to that OIG inquiry as well.
All right, Jacob, you have anything else you had planned to share with us today?
For me, a major accomplishment, District 7 did release a newsletter yesterday to over 500 recipients that we had compiled in our initial listserv buildup. And we hope to continue to add email addresses. So if people would respond, get in touch with us if they did not receive a newsletter. And like I said, it was just a test run. We only had 500 initially, but we've received responses from California, from Minnesota, from those who had received a copy of the newsletter. And we hope to continue to communicate effectively or efficiently with our Kiowa District, Goigu District 7 constituents with the unveiling of that first inaugural newsletter. So look forward to that, communicating regularly with our people.
Communication and transparency are keys to getting things done properly and working together, which we don't seem to be able to do. So this next part, we wanted to talk about the budget. So Mary Helen Deere and I and Jacob will talk about the budget. We've got a vote coming up on Saturday, May 15th on the chairman's budget. This budget has no input from the legislature. The annual budget proposed by the chairman is $20,318,586. There was a comparison study done between this budget that proposed for next year and the existing one, and there's about $750,000 in raises in this budget. The chairman proposes his salary be increased to $95,550. The vice chairman, $79,040. The executive assistant, $60,420. And the treasurer, $72,800. And those increases are substantially higher than the COLA increase for this last year of 1.3. The total budget for the executive branch is nearly $750,000. Jacob, did you want to point anything else about the executive branch's portion of that budget?
Well, I've been speaking to my constituents and recommending that they do vote no. I feel that there are several areas of really exorbitant increases, especially among the salaries. There's no real urgent need to raise those salaries so significantly when we're in this time of uncertainty. And so, you know, considering that we've got that memorandum about halting all spending, it's really concerning. I sent that newsletter out yesterday, and my recommendation was for District 7 to vote no.
You know, and one thing that's strange, the fact is the casino personnel are reporting, whoever's not talking, please put your phone on mute. Whoever is reporting record revenue at the casinos to the tune of almost $2 million in this last period, and yet the chairman is saying that there's a revenue shortfall, but the KCOA is reporting a revenue increase. And so that's kind of a strange, the things don't add up there. How can we have cutbacks and spending freezes when the casino itself is reporting record revenue?
It's just ludicrous that we would even think about doing some of the things the executive branch's proposal.
No, well, we certainly agree here too. Just thumbing through the budget, Mary Helen, do you have any other comments that you wanted to make about it?
Well, if these raises are supposed to be COLA, you know, I understand that COLA is 1.3. And many of these COLA raises that are listed are way above 1.3. Plus, as my 40 years as a manager of federal programs, if you give a COLA raise, it's across the board, not just to a few. Plus, I also see inequities between clerical positions. For instance, the executive assistant gets $60,000. The attendant in the museum gets $31,000. The election commission gets $24,000. And the enrollment clerk gets $31,000. So there's a $40,000 range there. And I'm just wondering, what does that job description entail to have such a range? A far range for a similar type clerical position.
Must be very wide-ranging job description requirements.
That's what I would like to know.
Yes.
Joe,
yes.
I'm still on here. I'm listening to y'all, but I'm on the road.
Go ahead.
And you may hear some outside noise.
That's fine.
I'm very concerned with those raises. The chairman's budget, which the legislature had no input into the chairman's budget whatsoever, none at all. And the chairman's budget contained even $7,000 raise even for one of our clerks, our clerk, which we didn't have any input whatsoever, but the chairman's budget contained a $7,000 raise for our legislative clerk. And it contained a $2,000 raise for each of the legislators' salaries. which we had no hand in that. But they gave each legislator a $2,000 raise.
And we don't deserve that raise. We didn't.
I never took that initial raise because I felt like it wasn't a bona fide raise since it came in the middle of a budgeted year in a modified budget of the year 2019 and 2020. That the raise came within that budget year in a modification. And so the Constitution says no increase or decrease until of salary until after the next general election, which the general election didn't take place until June of 2020. And so you wouldn't have started the new raise until when the new budget year started in July. You didn't even have a new budget until August of 2020 to vote on. So you were still working on your 2019-2020 budget. You weren't even into the 2021 budget yet, but you didn't have one.
So, Anita, am I correct in understanding the Constitution also has written words concerning a budget raise, and it prohibits budget raises during the middle of a budget year? It's supposed to not have, you're not supposed to be able to have a raise until, isn't it the next election cycle? Or what does it exactly say? You're on the committee.
The words in the Constitution say there will be no increase or decrease of compensation. You cannot get a raise, or you cannot take any other money other than what's budgeted for you. And I'll give you an example. You can't go to meetings, on committee meetings. One of the meetings is the KCOA, KCAILUC, KCA Land Use Committee meeting. They give out a stipend over there. And really, our Kiowa representatives should not take any kind of money because that's an increase in the salary that they get. So that's illegal for them to take that. You should not be taking that. I don't care if they hand you a $1,000 check. You should not take it because it's unethical for you to take that. You cannot have an increase or decrease. You cannot increase or decrease your salary. This applies to the elected official until after the next general election.
Thank you, Anita, and thank you, Jacob. So, Kiowa's for a better future. We hope that all tribal members look at the budget. It's posted on all of the Kiowa pages, and we urge you to vote no to the chairman's budget due to the egregious wage raises in that budget. We'd like to sign off for now, and thank you for tuning in, Koigu people. And as J.K. Goombay would say, Goombay for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mormon Media management and staff.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.